My name is John Lang, and welcome to this third meeting of the ASBAC. And I want to say a word or two, then turn it over to Rachel for another word or two, and then we will begin with the agenda, which I think you all have. So, I want to let you know that you're going to hear today about a lot that's been happening based on a lot of work from these folks. Thank you. Speaking of the mic, is that what you were going to say? All right, I was going to tell you all to speak into the mic, so that's not very good. Anyway, thank you. What I said was that we're going to hear a lot today about a lot of work from my committee members since our last meeting. And you're also going to hear about some things that are coming up. And then the very last part of the agenda has some time set aside for various things that will come up. So we'll include it as a reminder that I am directed to you, all of you, are to remember our ground rules, which are behind Laura. I don't think we need to go over them. If anybody's interested, there they are, and I think we even have them typed out somewhere. So there's that. The other, of course, is to, for the committee members, please remember to lean into your microphone so it gets picked up by those who are videotaping. Okay, so I think that's all I have by way of opening. So, Rachel?
Yeah, I just want to take a quick minute to thank this committee, who are all volunteering their time to be here. You, as a committee, have taken the reins, and with your expertise and your knowledge on senior issues and services and programming, and we really appreciate that, and you're going to help us move forward towards our goals, and I just want to take a minute to thank each and every one of you, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our next agenda item is approval of the approval of minutes. So, you all need some time. If anybody needs time to read them, I heard there's a transmission problem, email problem. Everybody got them?
Yeah.
Everybody's ready? Okay, then I'm looking for a motion to approve, and then if there's a second, and then if there are changes, we can discuss them. So.
I so moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Any recommended changes to your minutes?
I have a clarification on page 3, that the reference to encouraging committee members to access the website, it is the Ashland Taylor Coonan website to which I was referring.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah.
There was a reference to encouraging the ASPEC committee members to check the website, and I wanted to clarify that the reference went to the Ashland Saber Seniors website.
That's okay. The top page 3, very first line.
Oh, perfect.
And I wanted to clarify a remark attributed to me about all 8 members. There's a statement, and this would be the page number.
Yep, at the bottom left.
Oh yeah, 9. There was a characterization of many Alleen members being frail, physically challenged, and attending on scholarship or caring for elderly parents. I would say that is probably an exaggeration. There are certainly a portion of Alleen members, but I wouldn't characterize it as many.
Do you want to change that to some of whom?
Yes, that would be good.
Okay.
And the sensitivity of Alleen relationships with the people attending Alleen classes was specifically maybe to be added there so that the list of members cannot be provided.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How would you like that to read differently? Do you have some language for us?
The sensitivity of Alleen's relationships with the people attending Alleen classes, so a list of Alleen members cannot be provided. It's not like we could send, provide the list to other people to send out notices. And then in that same sentence, Ollie has its own outreach as part of RVCOG, and it would be its own outreach as does RVCOG.
Oh, what page is it?
Page 9.
It's the same sentence, but.
How most halfway than next to last page of your packet? Next to
paragraph 2.
Oh. And so, Susan, are you making these changes?
Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Just to add my name to the subcommittee for the survey.
And I have one other item, page 7, I think it was. It references in this fourth paragraph down that O'Brien says she met with senior program staff, and I'd like to correct that. I reported that our RVCOG Senior Disability Services Direct Client Program Coordinator met with the staff.
Did you find that, Susan?
Yeah.
Anything else? Are you ready to call for the question? So all those in favor of the minutes, as a member, say aye, please.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, good. We are on schedule. I'm going to turn this meeting mostly now over to the capable hands of Jackie, who's going to instruct us on how the public input process is going to work. Jackie?
And I will take all corrections from the committee if I get it wrong. We have two public speakers tonight, Sandra Sawyer and Gwen Davies. And so if you could please come forward and sit at the dais. There will be 3 minutes each for each of the two speakers. And we'll begin with Sandra.
And I'll give you a warning after 2 minutes, and then you, so you can wrap up. Sure.
3.
I get 2 minute warning.
Jackie?
3 minutes. You get 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm here with simply a word of precaution. 3 of the senior advisory committee members are elected Ashland officials. The remaining 8 members have diverse qualifications and experience on the senior issues. 6 of the 8 members are affiliated with organizations that involve senior services. They are RVCOG, AG Technology Resource Connection, Ashland at Home, SOU, ALE, North City Health and Human Services Commission. These members have performed commendable service for our community and those organizations. And the committee can bring about constructive enhancements to the Ashland Senior Program if they do so in an independent, objective manner and without any restrictions that may be imposed upon them by ALC. Ashland's Municipal Code for Advisory Commissions includes a code of ethics for the state. The Code of Ethics says, quote, "The City of Ashland is committed to the highest ethical standards for its public officials. To ensure public confidence, all members of advisory commissions and boards must be independent, impartial, responsible, and not use their position for personal gain or to benefit or harm others. Advisory commissions and boards shall operate in the general public interest, serving the community as a whole, and serve no special interest. Advisory commission and board members shall not endorse in their official capacity any commercial product or enterprise. Members should be aware of the criminal code, ethics, and conflict of interest laws set forth in the state statutes and city ordinances, including, but not limited
In order for the advisory committee members to assess options for recommended senior social service, it should thoroughly review what was in place in the senior program before APRC's August 9th changes. Otherwise, how can the committee legitimately judge whether the suggested changes are an improvement? The 43-year-old program integrated social services were not documented in an operations and procedures manual or any other detailed document that we know. The prudent way to obtain the information would be to invite the laid-off senior program manager who performed the services to present them to the committee. Note that while a few of the advisory members have worked with the senior manager, they were not involved in the daily social service interactions and do not have a good understanding of the work that was involved. The advisory committee, with its links to other senior service organizations, might sometimes appear to the public to be like sharks circling a prey if they do not verify the past services and their efficiencies.
We're in 9 minutes, so finish up, please. Thank you.
We hope this input helps guide you because we feel certain that all of you are acting with the best of intentions.
Thank you very much. I'm Gwen Davies. I live in Ashland. For months now, Ashland Parks and Recreation Commissioners Michael Black, Rachel Dials, and now perhaps this committee have steadfastly ignored a massive outpouring from Ashlanders who come from all over town that are speaking in one voice. The reorganization of the Senior Center and programs wiped out everything that the Senior Center stood for as originally described in the mission statement. Our center was a template for many others and came from the human decency of Ashland residents and leaders in the 1970s. The current actions came from a small group devoted to their own agendas and disdaining the public. Reversing their direction was easy, but it has not happened yet. One of our main points has been the lack of proper public notice and involvement. The committee seems to be proceeding in the same way that APRC and top staff have. If one looked at the calendar and said, which are the two worst weeks of the year in which to schedule meetings to get public input on an issue of vital concern to the community, they are the weeks the committee has picked. Do I even need to mention this is a season of holidays, holy days, for our two major religions, these 2 weeks? These 2 weeks are also the most precious for families to spend time together, whether out of town or coming here. It's the busiest time of year for dozens of parties, concerts, gatherings, services, family vacations, etc. My reaction to hearing the schedule was to wonder why. It's so insulting, such a barrier, and reveals a lack of respect for the public. These meetings should have happened in January after much more public notice. I thought no one would ever think of looking on the website to see if meetings were being scheduled. Those I talked to who are not very involved but have some awareness stated, boy, they really want to squelch public input. I repeatedly bring up the issue of using only the website to announce public meetings, especially those of importance. There should have been several big ads in both newspapers announcing meetings in January for those who do not look at, own, or use computers to have a chance to learn about. Many seniors do not use the center yet, or are avoiding it because of what's been happening. This is some sort of prejudice that actually leaves out a class of seniors and others. Again, it violates the very spirit of our society, beliefs that require public information, access to it, and most importantly, transparency and accountability. Many more issues are emerging as time goes by. One is particularly disturbing. Seniors are now being used for photo ops, PR, and marketing with no one having the slightest idea that one asks permission in such a sensitive setting ensures that only those who want to be filmed are in the shot. And if you really know what you're doing, one has written permission. It says there's mass filming violating privacy with no courtesy. Seniors are made to feel it's expected. They will be put on display, used, and pressured. I wonder how many people feel their lunches are at stake if they say they do not want to be used as a publicity stunt. I foresee an almost universal public involvement in seniors,
see how they can and will be treated in the future. It was objectionable. It's repellent now.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, the speakers. Now moving to agenda item number 5 again. Jackie Bachman, Chair, will lead this portion.
Thank you, John. Given the number of public comments regarding what the goals and objectives are for the ad hoc Senior Program Advisory Committee, I would like to address this. There is basically one major goal of this committee, and that is to make senior program and services recommendations to the Ashland Parks and Recreation Commissioners. In order to do that, we are carrying out 3 key objectives. Those objectives help us form the recommendations we make. The first objective is to gather public input through listening sessions and a community survey. The second objective is to use the knowledge and expertise that we have from the members here on this committee. And the third objective is to seek out and examine the best practices and national standards of excellence for senior programs, which we will be doing today. I want to give a little history of senior centers across the United States and also about 2 organizations. One is the National Council on Aging and the other is the National Institute for Senior Centers. The first senior center was established in 1943. It was by the New York City Department of Welfare, and from that one center, across our nation, we now have over 15,000 senior programs. When they began, senior centers were primarily designed as a place where older, isolated members of our community, of a community, could come to socialize. But that started to change in the 1950s, when the National Council on Aging was founded as the first charitable organization in the U.S. that would provide a national voice for older Americans and act as their advocate in dealing with service providers and policymakers. The goal of the National Council on Aging is to work towards benefits, health, independent living, securing jobs, and active living among older Americans. The role of senior centers expanded again in the 1970s and started to move to a more senior program concept. And this is with the enactment of the Older Americans Act. Senior center programs were identified as essential links in the service network for older adults. The National Council on Aging established a division that they call the National Institute of Senior Centers. That was in March of 1970. NISC is a network of professionals who are dedicated to enhancing the lives of senior citizens through professional development, advocacy, and the promotion of national standards of excellence. Over time, senior centers have expanded from a simple center approach to a senior program concept. And this uses a comprehensive community strategy, meeting the needs of older citizens within a senior center model, as well as outside the center. And this is a senior program that links seniors to services that are offered by other agencies. And that brings us to best practices. These are the best practices identified by the National Institute of Senior Centers. And you should have a handout, and there's also a chart of the best practices. Do we have that chart? The best practices, yes. But there's a handout that you want to hand that around to them. And we have a chart here that will also be up on the screen. The best practices that have been identified are basically It's those services and programs that are, that you find at senior programs across the United States providing the highest level of care to seniors. It is not limited to just these items, just these services and programs, and in fact, different communities have enhanced and added on to these. The first area is information and referral services. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go through the 11 best practices, and I'm going to describe to you the best practices that I have found in our current senior center program as we go through. So currently, with information and referral services, this is an area of need. And this is where we link people to needed services for health and financial assistance. One area that has been explored and that we will be hearing, I think, from Rachel on later is the concept of an options counselor through ADRC. And then we have the meal program. And in our senior program, it's the Food and Friends program. And we have the Meals on Wheels home delivery program. And this is an area that we should probably look at increasing to see if we can meet more of the needs of people in our community. The third area is health and wellness. And we currently have yoga, tai chi, somatics, blood pressure and foot clinics, advanced directive classes. We could also look in other areas, for instance, at balance and strength training, and many other areas that I hope we'll hear from the community in our public listening sessions. And we certainly will be looking at the issues brought forth tonight about meeting in December. We will look at can we then meet more in January. Certainly, there was no intention to try to narrow participation. It was really to move faster, trying to get the input in. The next area is social and community action opportunities. We have line dance, cribbage, mahjong, movies. We also have discussion groups that meet to talk about what's going on in the community and community action. Then there's educational opportunities. We have computer training, for instance, at the center. This is a current need. We really could use more computer trainers, given people asking for that training. We provide fall prevention clinics. We provide AARP courses, driving courses. And then we're also looking at offering more educational opportunities through OLLI, which definitely is one of our community partners, and that could be in the many areas, history and theater arts and drawing and painting. Another area is arts and humanities programming. We have at our in our senior program, we've gone to the Brit Symphony and field trip in the summer. We've had a chamber music concert in the spring. It was lovely. We could look at more offerings, particularly here in Ashland, that would happen on a weekly basis and that would include other partners like SOU, our college kids, our high school kids, and our theater and fine arts community. I think that this is a real blossoming area that could be explored. And then intergenerational activities, that's another best practice. Again, this is an area to be explored. This is where we would be looking at high school and college students that might be involved in projects with seniors. It might involve things like interviews on life experience, also weekly social visits with people who would like that, playing card games or just a nice chat. Another area of best practice is employment assistance. And this is another area to be explored. And I would like to hear from the public as we, through December and January and through the survey, what employment assistance would the seniors like in our community? And then transportation services. We help our participants get bus passes, And we have the Valley Lift program and help to make sure they qualify for that. And then we're looking at how can we increase transportation options and look at transportation, for instance, to and from the center. And again, this is an area I would like to hear from the community in what they have to say about this, because that might be a way that we could increase our meal program so more could attend and have a good meal in the middle of the day. Then volunteer opportunities. This has been mainly with the meal program as our senior program, and so it's an area that we could explore, and especially I think in other social areas, socializing with senior citizens. And then the last area is financial benefits assistance. And in our senior program, we have the Senior Health Insurance Benefits Assistance Program, that's called SHEBA. We have a Medicare counselor. We assist the city with utility assistance, low-income energy assistance, that's the ELITE program, and then emergency heat assistance. So you can see there's quite a bit that we're doing in our senior program right now having to do with these best practices. And as I said, every community is unique in their activities and services. And if you look at the very best senior program, these best practices, you will find they're there. They're just then added to and enhanced. So as we move forward, I'm hoping that all of us will keep these best practices in mind as we start forming recommendations. Any questions?
I had a comment.
Yes.
You know, I think the public needs to know this, that we have a tremendous opportunity to enhance our volunteer opportunities because we have an in-house volunteer coordinator that works for ATRC, Lori Ainsworth. And, I mean, you know, once again, it's, a lot of times you have to develop the opportunity, but if anybody has an idea, you know, Lori's great at putting those things together. So, you know, it wouldn't be like, well, who do I go to or how do I do it? It's like all you have to do is come up with an idea and, you know, and it could be fleshed out and something could happen. And the other thing I just want to point out is, I mean, as you went through the list, it would appear that the current senior center has some portion of all of these best practices, except for maybe the intergenerational activities. I don't know if there's much of that going on. But, I mean, I think it would be easy to expand all of these best practices within our current senior setup. I mean, it's nothing that we go like, oh, we never thought of that. It's like we basically do most of these things. We just don't do enough of them, from my perspective.
Other comments, please, from the committee about this first look at goals as identified by Jackie. Other comments or questions?
I would say, Debbie, that yes. What I was interested in hearing and certainly agree with is the definition of a senior center and a senior program. Because I think that moving away from a one location kind of need to looking at the whole community and where things might happen that might be more convenient for some to come or where the expertise might be more readily available and so forth. I love that concept. I think since this is Parks and Rec is a city-wide program and lots of places where things can happen or things are happening that we can link to that don't necessarily need to happen in the senior center, although I see that as the headquarters for it, nonetheless, it can happen elsewhere. Thank
you. Okay.
You're right here.
No, thanks. Yeah, I'm sorry, aren't you?
I would just like to acknowledge that there were probably limitations on pursuing additional programs along these lines based on funding for staff. So as we are considering these kinds of expansions, that it will behoove us to be realistic about what might be possible, either with expanded staff or with a more aggressive utilization and coordination of volunteers.
So I'm going to comment that in speaking with Jackie, I learned that this has been well thought through and researched and sort of run by a number of the committee members, and we can, if you choose, provide the basis of a framework.
I really would like to wait on that,
yeah,
because the standards really are the framework, that they go hand in hand. So you're right, they go hand in hand with the best practices.
Anything else? Well, I think we are now ready to look at agenda item number 6. We're moving along pretty well. So Rachel, this is your area.
Well, I just want to give a quick update to the committee and to the public on what's been happening in the senior program over the last month or so since the November meeting. Again, as a reminder, the senior program, the senior center is open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 3:30. We do have Natalie, who's our senior program support staff at the senior center, and she's in the office Monday through Friday, as well as Lori Ainsworth, who's our volunteer and events coordinator, is helping out behind the scenes. All of our regular programs and services are happening: Tai Chi, yoga, line dancing, somatics, discussion groups, blood pressure clinics, dementia caregiver support groups, all of our recreational and social activities, cribbage, spades, mahjong, Friday movies, the lending library. Appointments are being taken for a foot clinic, for the senior health information benefits program, PC and MAC tutoring, and prescription medication review, and also blood pressure screenings are happening as well. The Thanksgiving dinner happened on, I believe it was November 20th. We had just over 80 people attend that, and that was actually sponsored by the Ashland Fire Department, and that's an annual tradition going on about 9 years. The Food and Friends program is happening at the Senior Center Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 12:30. We had a holiday card making workshop at the Senior Center on November 29th, and those cards are going to be delivered to Meals on Wheels recipients during the week of December 22nd. The Rogue World Music performed Christmas carols during the lunch hour on Wednesday, December 6th. We have a holiday luncheon and party coming up on December 20th. It will include gifts donated and wrapped and delivered by the Ashland Rotary. And we're also having a special December 26th lunch. As the Food and Friends program is normally closed on that day, but we are actually going to have staff there to serve a lasagna lunch, and RSVPs are recommended for that. Repair Southern Oregon is held the fourth Monday of every month, and is becoming a quite popular sewing service that offers free clothing repair for seniors. The Rogue Valley RBTV Bus Pass and Valley Lift program is still happening. We're continuing to distribute passes, coupon books, mailing them out when needed, and then also distributing them to people that are walking in as well. We received a total of 160 ALEAP applications, which is the Low Income Energy Assistance Program. So that's going well. We started about a month ago. We have an open house coming up on Monday, December 18th, 2:30 and at 5:30. And this is a chance for citizens to find out more about the current programs and services of the senior program, as well as take a tour of the facility. We have a lot of fun activities planned for 2018, which I don't need to go into detail about. But I do want to say that we are working on an intergovernmental agreement right now with RVCOG, the Senior Disability Services, to provide some interim support services at the Senior Center. And this will include information and referral assistance and support provided by staff within the Senior Disability Services ADRC program. This will be one full day per week at the Senior Center, and this person can refer to an options counselor. So
that's really exciting news to hear. I'm really pleased to hear that.
So that will be starting in the next week.
Other comments from committee members? Quite an extensive list. Thank you, Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, John.
Wait, I missed you again, Ian.
I must be at this level.
No, what's going on with me?
I just want to ask Rachel if she can comment to some comments that I've heard from the community that the utilization and participation in the senior center has decreased in the absence of the former staff. And I just want to see if there's any way for you to get a estimate of the extent to which that may be true, because I think that's a legitimate concern by people in the community.
From what I've noticed and seen on site, as well as our staff, you know, now these are on a daily basis, we have, you know, in the beginning when this, everything first started, we did initially see a decrease. From what we can tell, everything's kind of back to normal as per the numbers that were provided in the binder. So we're seeing kind of a normal flow of people coming in and out of the center.
And just what would you recommend to people in the community that might feel that people are not getting or not getting the right kind of information or whatever, which has been a criticism that's been expressed? How should they channel that concern?
They can channel that concern. They can call me directly. They can call the senior center directly and speak with Natalie in the office at 488-5342. Or call me directly at 552-2260. I'm happy to speak with people anytime.
You know, I would just add a comment to that I think, you know, I will say personally, I felt it was misplaced, the public input on stating that some of the photos they're filming that Park and Rec might be doing to promote the senior center. I think it's, you know, personally I look at it more as an opportunity to get that word out, to show people that, you know, this is what your senior center looks like. These are people that are at the center. These are activities that are going on. I kind of take offense to it as propaganda, more as just a, you know, this is how we reach people. I mean, hopefully, I mean, people are, I realize not everyone's computer savvy, but, you know, if you're on a mailing list, a lot of the mailing list for the Senior Center monthly, you know, newsletter, I mean, goes out, and other updates can be made, you know, on events that are taking place. Mm-hmm. So I just think there are a lot of things going on, and my conversations with Natalie are the same thing, that she kind of sees this, the activity level being similar to what it was, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to grow on that. But, you know, I guess I just encourage the public, if anybody's watching, to, you know, to go to the website and or to come to the senior center themselves and see what's going on.
All right, and then Jackie.
Mike, just a query, because I didn't understand where the thoughts were coming from. Could you elaborate a little bit on what kind of filming has been going on, so we would have a better understanding?
Well, it's just a public comment today.
I can do that.
Oh, okay.
So I noticed in some of the advertisements of the listening sessions, for instance, and Rachel, you can correct me if I don't have this right, but there is what it's a lovely picture of a senior sitting at a table, and they're working and they're involved. And, of course, there are confidentiality standards and requirements when you put out an advertisement like that. And I don't think that was taken into account when it went out. Is that right, Rachel?
We actually have a photo disclaimer that goes out in our program guide that people are participating in our activities that. But we actually need to do a better job on our end with our staff of just saying, hey, if you don't want to get your picture taken, please let us know.
And this is just a really good example of why we're going to be talking about standards of excellence shortly, because confidentiality is a very important part of what you have in policies and procedures and, you know, in your handbook for how you carry things out. And so this may be an area that we really want to assist and pay attention to.
Thanks for bringing that up. and for the clarifications, plural, more in response to Rachel's progress report. And let's keep going.
Thank
now
you.
Now we're going to subcommittee reports. And it looks like, Laura, you're up first.
All right. Well, our partnership subcommittee met for the first time last week on December 8th. And we actually, and I should clarify, that subcommittee involves Catherine Danner, Amblesia, Rob Casserly, Laura, myself, and Rachel. We experienced a lot of excitement in our discussion around the brainstorming on the topic of regional partnerships in order to support our senior center program, and recognizing that there are a lot of resources that will expand opportunities for elders. And it was discussed that there were leaders in other agencies whose own missions may be enhanced by the collective collaborations and connections. So looking at the centrality of the Senior Center building, which is a focused location of services, and not thinking of the center as the only place that we can serve our senior population, but as the hub, by opening doors across the community to the community at large, we can enhance the services and resources to our population. We were impressed with the Senior Center already having some very solid partnerships established. So we will not be making recommendations that are getting away from the foundation that's already built, but recognize that expanded time and staffing support can enhance the services. And therefore, we discussed that expanded staff would be a part of building out from the senior center. Also, more utilization of community and leveraged resources, which was mentioned earlier, including volunteers, would allow for expansion of support across the community. And with the responsibility and commitment to enhancement, the focus on overall quality of life for our seniors. So we are looking forward to our next subcommittee meeting, which is coming up this Wednesday, December 13th, and we look forward to bringing more information back to the committee.
Questions? We have time. Questions? Comments?
It sounds very good. I really agree. It's exciting, and I think, again, getting back to what Catherine was saying and expanding this to a senior program model and to link people and to reach out to people, that's what we need to do. And so I thank you and your committee for everything they're doing there.
Great. Keep going, Community Assessment Subcommittee. Marion.
Well, let me mention the people that are on this committee. Anne seems to be on all of them. Mary Russell, Peggy Bryant, who isn't here, and Michael Black was our staff liaison, and myself. So we are actually, this subcommittee is looking at only a portion of the needs assessment work being done. We're doing a focus primarily on the survey part of it, and the listening groups and the perhaps somewhat even the open houses will also be doing a needs assessment, collection of needs assessment as well. So in this committee, one of the things that we realize is that there have been a number of other surveys that are relevant. The 2016 Ashland Senior Program Satisfaction Survey, I think that's in the quote the binder. The 2015-16 Senior Needs Survey was conducted by RV Cobb, SDS, Senior Disability Services, looking to see what services seniors in Southern Oregon thought were important to ensuring their ability to live as independently as possible. And then the 2016 Ashland Community Livability Survey, and that one didn't have targets specifically towards senior needs, but Anne has said that perhaps we might be able to put some questions into the next survey that's done by Ashland that might look more at senior needs. So we actually have, ASPAC actually has already done one survey, which I reported on last time, which gave us some information about the people who are currently coming to the Senior Center, about what they like, what they think might be added. So So we have that information as well. And then looking at the survey itself, we have set up a goal for the survey. The goal is that we're looking to collect information about needs from the senior, needs that the seniors in Ashland have, but we want to have information from people outside the senior community as well. So we're looking at a fairly broad scope of participants for this survey, and we get that reflected in how we're actually going to be distributing the survey and getting it out to the public. We believe that the information that's coming in through the listening session should be reflected in the survey as well. So we've spent some time putting together an initial survey. Actually, Ann came to the meeting with an initial survey. We made a lot of comments on it. We're going to have another meeting after the last listening session to incorporate what's been discussed in the listening sessions and see if there's some things there that we might want to put into the survey. Our goal there is to have that meeting and have an updated survey ready for the next ADPAC meeting, which I believe is January 8th, and I guess Rachel will confirm that later in this meeting. So assuming that we can get the survey presented to ADPAC members and approved, then we will, as quickly as possible, get it ready to distribute. It will be done primarily through SurveyMonkey. There should be a link that takes you into the SurveyMonkey survey on the City of Ashland, Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission Department website, on the Ashland Senior Center website. We'll be distributing information about that link as well through a lot of flyers that will be put up at the Senior Center and at any other places that we can think of. And if you have suggestions about places to post it, please send an email to me or Ann or anyone on the committee. The places that we're thinking about right now, similar to what we did with publicity for the listening sessions, we'd be looking at retirement living communities like Mountain Meadows and I think Ashley Apartments. I'd like to get something posted at the library. I discovered I could not post anything at the YMCA, so that one is out for the moment. We'll put some things up at the Grove as well as Senior Center. And the things that will be posted, the locations that where we will be posting, we will have the flyer that gives information about the link. We will also have paper surveys. So people do not have to get online to answer the survey. They can pick up a paper survey and mail it in or bring it to the Senior Center. Information about that will be on the survey so they know what to do with it when they're done. We're hoping to have, oh, and there's one other way that we will be collecting survey input, and that is by telephone. We'd like to be able to put on the flyers that people can call the Senior Center and ask for a return call to have them go through the survey on the telephone, and hopefully we will have volunteers or staff who will be able to do that work and actually just enter the information into SurveyMonkey directly at that point. We'd like to have the survey information, or all surveys returned, by something around January 26th, giving people about 2 weeks to respond. At that point, any analysis that needs to be done can be done pretty quickly with SurveyMonkey. And in fact, when we discuss the information on the survey in the ADPAC meeting, you can certainly ask for cross-tabulations to be done. I think it Ann's used it quite a bit. It's very easy with SurveyMonkey. So just a little side comment here. We've been talking here and there about volunteers at the Senior Center. This is a situation where we could certainly use help from volunteers, and I've been in touch with both Rachel and Lori about that, so we're letting them know. There is one other publicity venue that we'd like to get going, and that is the newspaper. We'd like to get some kind of an article. Perhaps we won't have to do an ad. We'll just let them know that this is going on, and I think they would be very pleased to do a little article about the survey with information about both the link and the fact that you can call the senior center if you want to do the survey by phone. So those are the ways that we're going to distribute the survey. That's the timing. Have it ready for review January 8th, out shortly after that, 2 or 3 days after that if we can, and then ready for the February ASPAC meeting to look at survey results. We are, as I said, still working on the survey itself. The subcommittee members are all sending Ann information by email about their comments on the survey, and Ann is taking a big responsibility here. She's going to be the one to pull all those comments together and try to incorporate them into an updated survey. I think that's about it. And Mary, any comments you want to add?
Yeah. I just wanted to mention, if I maybe didn't hear it, but they did opportunity to boost the number of people participating is that we will have an invitation to the portion of the Ali membership that is probably about 1,100 people. So that will, and as I mentioned earlier, this is not distorting the composition of the respondents because we have a broad representation of both ages and needs, people who are perhaps needing services themselves, people who are looking for services for parents or loved ones. And so I think it'll give us a good representation of seniors in Ashland. Let's see, the other comment would be that to speaking to the concern about the listening sessions taking place and scheduled right now to take place only in December, which basically I object to too. I'd like to have a Christmas. But anyway, I don't want to leave the impression that our fine-tuning of the survey relies entirely on what we gathered in those December sessions, because anybody who, for whom it is inconvenient to attend those scheduled that month could certainly weigh in on issues that they would hope we would include in our quantitative survey. They can contact the Senior Center, Rachel, or myself, and we'll make sure that that those issues get included.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I did not mention that we would be sending out email with the link to SurveyMonkey survey through the OLLI. Email is for the Ashland members. Hopefully we can do something like that with Ashland at Home. I haven't spoken to you about that, Catherine. This would not be having you give us the list, but having us give you the survey information. So.
Yeah, and echo my earlier comment, I think the description of what the purpose of this survey is needs to be fairly broad. I think we're looking at what Ashland elders, seniors, what would enrich and enhance their lives, not just the Ashland, but the place of the senior center.
For the program itself, not just the senior center.
Yeah. So I would be really hopeful that we can describe its purpose and whatever those questions are, to focus on a broad concept as we can measure through this.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the issues that was originally brought up at our subcommittee meeting, and we were all in agreement that we were looking at the program as opposed to the center, but the center being a piece of the program. So yeah, that was definitely something to be discussed right away.
And the other group that we are wanting to include in the survey is people who are needing services for other seniors, because we find that there's an expectation that they might be getting information by contacting the senior center. So we want to know what kinds of information they would be looking for or services. And
I would just recommend that we look at the religious community as a
that's a good point. than some people might be looking at it, because I'm with the city. I'm also wondering how this is going to interface with a structure for the future, a structure for the city vision, a structure for the strategic plan of the city, which is currently something that the city council is looking at. What goals and objectives are important, and what are the actions to get to that? I'm talking about things like the role of the city commission. The city commission's look at senior needs or older American needs in their planning. I've said this before, so this isn't new for me to say. Something like the transportation commission. Are there people on there? There may be older Americans on there, but are they looking specifically at what some of those needs are? Same thing with public housing. Right now, we're also looking at emergency preparedness, for example. If you look at what happened in Florida and Texas with disasters and what happened with many seniors there, there needs to be very specific plans for that as well. So I'm hoping, or how I'm seeing this, is that as well as looking at the needs right now, how does this also affect the future of planning for the city to incorporate these needs citywide, so it just doesn't stop with what happens at the senior center right now.
Go ahead, Ann.
There is a question that we're planning to include on the survey that gets at issues such as housing, finances, transportation, parking, and things like that, and how well people feel those needs are being served. We probably, at least I personally would recommend that as for senior services, for city services, that might be a better goal fulfilled through your livability survey that's going out this year, 2018, is your every other year you do that kind of survey. And there is an opportunity to include special questions on there that could inform that. And it might, I agree with you that the need is there. We talked about that, getting the various commissions sensitive to senior issues. But I think it's separate from our goals for how the senior program should be organized under Parks and Rec. So I think that would be maybe some input to supply, see how we might get at some of those things without diluting the primary goal of the survey.
Jackie?
This is actually a very good segue once we get to it on the standards of excellence and looking at the criteria to how to ensure best practices and also look at governance and fiscal responsibility. And so we're going to be talking about that when we get through just this little next piece.
Good. Marion, and then roll out.
Going down the line. Just a comment, again, relative to what you said, Steph, that one of our goals was to keep the survey relatively short. Mm-hmm. It's already, I think we're up to, I don't know, 4 pages or so, 15 or 16 questions. So we don't want to make it overwhelming so that people just look at it and say, oh, this is too much. So we're kind of trying to limit ourselves a little bit that way. So.
Just a tactical suggestion for your committee. If you're looking to cast as wide a net as possible for the survey among Ashland residents, you might see if the timing would work out to get something in the City Source newsletter that goes to every utility customer.
That's a good suggestion, Rob. Thank you.
I'm being curious about that. So I don't get utility bills anymore. They're paying electronically. I don't think I see that newsletter anymore.
It's
probably
online, but
it's online, but I don't look at it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
it's still a good
sure. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there'll be some back and forth on the extent and the focus of the survey, and instead of come back to the large committee for approval and examination of anything that can be done before it comes here. It's probably useful. You know, you're working like crazy to contact staff, et cetera. Is this what I'd like to offer?
Thank you.
Anything else on the survey? We are now ready to move to the third subcommittee, and Jackie's going to report on listening sessions in the open house subcommittee.
And Rachel, chime in if you'd like to. Basically, the listening sessions are set up for December 13th, 20th, December 27th. Those are all Wednesdays from 12 to 2:30 at our senior center in Hunter Park. And we certainly will...
Was it 12:30 to 2?
What did I say?
Yeah, 12:30 to 2.
Thank you. 12:30 to 2. Thank you for correcting me. I am on a little cold medication. And we certainly will look at public input meetings in January. So we can discuss that. I would like to carry out, we've advertised this, people know about it, so we'll see how many people are able to make these meetings. It certainly was not intended to get in the way of anyone's holiday. Mm-hmm. And then the open house is basically to give information out to families who may have elderly parents who are looking at what would a senior program provide for them. Also seniors in our community who know nothing about the senior center and the senior program and would like to learn more about it. And that's December 18th, Monday, 2:30, mm-hmm. and then the next one is at 5:30, mm-hmm. so that people can come after work. Mm-hmm. And it's about an hour in length.
About an hour in length, and we are going to have refreshments. And I will say if there are people that do want to make comments at the open house, we will have a comment and suggestion box on site in case anybody wants to leave a comment or suggestion.
Good. Okay.
Questions or comments? Quick. Subcommittee report. If you'll allow, I just think this is an extensive, there's an invitation for an extensive opportunity for input. Mm-hmm. You know, in my view, impressive. Mm-hmm. Editorial comment. So I think we are ready for that segue that you mentioned a moment ago, Jackie, and ready to go to item 8.
Yep. And we do have a chart on this. Rachel will be putting that up. And you should have a handout that has the National Standards of Excellence for Senior Programs. And this is by the National Council on Aging as well as the National Institute of Senior Centers. So hopefully all the committee members have that. And there is a handout for the audience if they would like that as well. Just some background. The National Institute of Senior Centers developed the Standards of Excellence in 1978, and it was originally developed as a reference guide for communities who were interested in developing a senior center. And then over the years, these standards have become a guide for senior program self-assessment, and that's in three main areas. And those areas are program development, program quality, and program improvement. And the standards, they have been revised over the years, 1990, 1996, 99, and also in 2010. They're now used as a senior program self-assessment accreditation process. And some of you may be familiar with accreditation processes, particularly in the public schools. When organizations have high community value and great importance to the community, it is common for accreditation to be used to make sure that not only does the organization utilize best practices, which we have looked at today, but that they also have the standards to protect and make sure those best practices not only are provided, but that they are evaluated and then improved upon. And that creates basically a measuring tool for how are we doing. And on how can we evaluate, how can we improve, and how can we enhance. So the standards ensure that the best practices, and those are the necessary programs and services, again, that they're provided, they're evaluated, and they're improved so that senior needs are met at the highest level. And so if you look at the chart, we have the criteria areas, and I'm going to go through each one and talk to you about the criteria within the standard. So for instance, the first standard is purpose and planning. This is where you look to see, is there a mission statement? And is it a mission statement that was created with the inclusion of the stakeholders in the community? You look to see, is there a current planning document with goals and objectives and an action plan? And you look for an annual report that lists out all the accomplishments of that organization, our senior program. The second standard is community connection. This is a really important area, as you heard Laura O'Brien talking about tonight. This is where you know you can find a list of collaborative community partners. There's a sample cooperative agreement between the senior program and a community partner. There's a clear explanation of how the information and referral process is made available to seniors and the community. There's a marketing plan. There's also a copy of marketing material. How do we get things out to our community? And there are news releases and news articles that provide evidence for our community connections and what we're doing. The third area is governance. And this is where we say to ourselves, how are the expectations shared and the progress on goals communicated? So, are there bylaws? Are there policies that are showing that we have standards and we're striving to meet those standards? Do we have a code of ethics that's clearly available and that we're familiar with? And do we have a standing senior program advisory council or advisory committee that is made up, much as this one is, this ad hoc advisory committee, with our stakeholders from our community? So it would be commissioners, it would be city liaison, it would be certainly participants and seniors in our community, it would be community partners, and it would be staff. And we would look at conflict of interest statements, and we make sure that we have everyone's names and professions, and we would know each other on this standing advisory committee. Another thing in the same governance section we need to think about is that when we end our service here on the ad hoc advisory committee, the hope would be that we would have a standing advisory committee that would begin, and it would be a seamless beginning. So I hope we can think about that in our recommendations moving forward to make sure that we keep the progress going and keep the direction going. The fourth area is administration and human resources. This is also very important. And this is where you have the organizational chart and you show the structure and the lines of authority. And what's important about this is when you have an organizational chart, it shows you what the priority is of a particular program within the organization. So for instance, the senior program, where are they in the organizational structure in Parks and Recreation? And should they be considered to be a separate division? For instance, golf is a separate division. I would say with the community value and the importance that we have all seen the senior program take on and show that we really consider this. We also would have job descriptions of not only paid staff, but unpaid staff. There would be a volunteer handbook. We would have the current resume for the main administrator on site, as well as the main administrator for the whole senior program, however that is determined. Then program development and implementation. This is where all the best practices are clearly described. And it shows that the best practices, again, are being evaluated, improved on, enhanced on, and that they exist, and when do they happen? So we're looking at listing of hours and locations, and the locations might not all be at the senior center. They could be in other parts of the community. Then we have evaluation. This is where you ask, is there a senior program evaluation plan? And is that plan evidence-based? And that means, are there examples of outcome-based evaluation? And this includes baseline data. It includes intended results, then the actual results. And then how was that information used to improve what we have in our program? The next area is fiscal and asset responsibility. And this is where I'm thinking, Steffi, when you were talking about how do we work together with city and also county and state and federal. But this is where we look at the senior center budget. And given the community value and importance of the senior program in Ashland, this very special place, I think we're going to need to take a very serious look about financial partnerships with city, county, state. We're going to need to look at grants. I agree, working with the commission. I personally am now on the Housing and Human Services Commission, and I can tell you my focus is an age-friendly Ashland. I certainly will check into the other commissions, and transportation is a very important one as well to be checking on. But this is where you also have, under financial, fiscal and asset responsibility, you look at disaster recovery and what's the business continuity plan. What if there's a fire? What if there's a flood or an earthquake? You know, what happens with our senior program, and how are we a part of working with the city on carrying out what needs to be done? It also gives the written procedures for internal financial control. So now, records and reports. I know this sounds pretty dry, but it's really important. This is where there is a policy and procedures manual for the senior program. It describes how we go about making sure, for instance, that we have a confidential participant database that includes emergency information. It has a confidentiality policy, so we're very careful with how we carry out things like taking photos or that kind of thing. And we have special participant forms for field trips and things like that, and a general participant record form. The other thing is we have comparative year-end reports, and that means you look at the meal program, for instance. How did it do this year? Well, how did it do last year? And so, you know, we have an activity that we think is going very well. Well, has it increased from what we had last year, or is it declining? And maybe we need to then evaluate and improve. And then the final area is facility and operations. And this is where you look at the building design and the function and say, is it meeting the function of the best practices, which are the programs and services that we're offering in the center and then outside the center, out in the community, in the senior program. This is also where we look at transportation options. Should we expand those? I think we really need to hear from the community on that. It's also where we have our safety procedures. It's also where we look at preventive maintenance, and we make sure that whatever places that we're providing our programs and services, that we're taking care of them, and we're scheduling how we care for them. And it would also include written procedures for rental agreements. This would be certainly in a cost recovery area where we would look at renting out the kitchen space, the senior center space during nighttime for nighttime events and also on the weekends. But it would all be clearly spelled out. So I know this is a lot of information to give to you all at once. But what I think is that when you look at the standards, this is where, John, I think your idea, that framework, this is where I think you can really see a framework for how we can move forward in starting to formulate our recommendations. And I have a process for this I'd like to share with you. So there are 9 major standards, and these each have measurement criteria in every one. As we begin organizing the public comments that we received during our ASPAC meeting, and as we're getting suggestions and ideas from our listening sessions throughout December, then as we start analyzing the survey information from the community needs assessment that is going out in January, and then as we each of us think of our knowledge and expertise, we all have our own ideas on how we can improve and expand and enhance our senior program. So we use a standard area, and you might be drawn to certain standards because of your expertise and experience. For instance, in the area of purpose and planning, talking about a mission statement, you know, this is where we may want, we certainly have a mission statement already, but this would be where we might recommend to revisit and revise a mission statement that includes stakeholders in a process and is tailored to Ashland, to what we are here. And it would also move from the senior center concept to a senior program concept. And you would have that in the mission statement. It would be reflected in there. Another example, again, community connections. That's just a natural for, you know, coming up with cooperative agreements and figuring out who those specific agencies for referral and outreach could be. And I'm almost coming to the end. So let me just tell you this. These ASPAC recommendations that we're going to be making, these are not going to be carried out by us, by ASPAC. They are going to be moved forward to the Parks Commissioners, the Senior Program Manager, the Standing Senior Program Advisory Committee, and the staff. So my suggestion is that we begin to form our draft recommendations as we move through January, after the listening session and the community survey results, after that analysis is done, and that each of us matches our experience and our knowledge to form draft recommendations, again, to protect and build and improve the best practices, services, and programs that we already have. And looking ahead, my suggestion is that we form a subcommittee made up of the leads on our current committees of community partners, public input, and community assessment. And we would have the task of integrating the ideas and the information from all of us into draft recommendations for our February meeting. This gives us the goal of getting our final recommendations by March. Any questions?
then Catherine. And then Catherine?
Just to clarify for me, that we're not, for example, developing a marketing plan. We're not, you know, formulating a lot of these things. We're simply making recommendations that these be done, or maybe defining the ways in which they would be done. Because otherwise it would be impossible to do by February.
Can I just respond to that? Because there's a visual that would be just so great to this new marketing plan.
There's a few hands that are up. I know you want to respond, Jackie, and then Mike.
Or someone else with a hand, but
Okay.
I just wanted to give an example. And that was, do you have the marketing toolkit over there? How did you know we would? So, for example, the marketing toolkit is full of marketing plans. Now, we're not going to make up the marketing plan, but we're going to point the way to resources like that. That's the idea.
Okay, Catherine.
As I heard you speak, Jackie, that was really inclusive. What I heard, however, was a description of a senior program that stands alone and that is grassroots and that does not fall under the aegis of a city and its guidelines. And so I think there was not a recognition that we can't do these things. We're not empowered to do these things in a vacuum or as if we were a grassroots separate entity.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. And that's where, when you're looking at fiscal accountability, I said we are going to need to look at financial partners with cities, states, counties, as well as all different programs and agencies to link to, definitely.
But what I'm concerned about is us needing to know where in the city plan, maybe the livability survey, but not survey, but in the design of the city, where does Parks and Rec fit and where does senior programs fit? And I heard it coming at the other way, but I think there must be information available or guidance available before we reinvent the wheel here in all areas.
And I can, I know Steffi will know this, it's basically 6.3 of the strategic plan is the city's strategic plan, working with Parks and Recreation to expand and improve the senior program. And that's basically where it's mentioned in how those two come together. Steffi, do you want to add anything to that?
There are red, yellow, and green goals.
Right.
And the senior center and senior needs hasn't been a goal that's been funded possibly as many, as much as some others might have been. In terms of how it works with the budget, maybe this is a good thing to understand. Parks and Recreation is allotted, they say what they need to the budget committee, and the budget committee says, okay, this is what you get. But it is the Parks and Recreation Commission that decides how that is going to be used in the park budget. It's not, they're an elected body, and that's the process for that.
So this is, we're going to blend this last item with the next and last item, which is comments from committee members, lots of observations, questions, et cetera. Right now, then you have a suggestion in front of you, and Mike, you wanted to comment.
So I just wanted to interject this group that is, Jackie was talking about goals for the senior center. Every biennium, the Park and Recs sets their biennium goals, you know, for how we're going to structure our budget, but, you know, also where the focus is going to be on our efforts. And we align our goals with the city council goals, or the city goals. You know, so there's a fairly intricate structure that, you know, that already exists within the layers of government to, not that this will fit into that, but I just wanted to make sure the group understood that that's kind of the way, you know, that's kind of the way we get to the end of through a 2-year biennium is by establishing our goals at the beginning, reviewing it as they go along, and aligning what we want to do with really what the city wants to do, you know, how we fit in there. And then we're going to see how the recommendations from this group fit into the goals that Park and Recs has that fits into the city goals.
Along those lines, I think a question that would be useful for committee members to hear, because it's lurking in a previous question, is to what extent or what kind of specificity that perhaps the Parks and Rec Commission would like these recommendations. I don't know that you can comment on that completely right now. That's going to be one of the questions in front of any subcommittee that came up around marketing. Do we give them a marketing plan, or do we tell them we want you to use this document to generate some ideas for marketing, and anything in between along any of those standards of excellence? So do you have any comments at this time about that? Because it will be in front of this committee.
Right. Well, my comment to that would be that the recommendations that come out of this subcommittee will obviously be front and center of the goals of the program management team, whatever form that takes. I mean, the recommendations are going to go, and me as a commissioner, I'm not going to implement that goal necessarily. I'm going to recommend what policy, you know, we accept, but the staff and the future staff of the senior center are going to be implementing the recommendations that come out of this. You know, so I mean, if the recommendation is to follow these guidelines for a marketing plan, like that's what's going to happen sometime in the future. The commissioners aren't going to meet as a group and say, okay, here's our marketing plan, go do it. I mean, staff is going to put that together. Just, you know, just that's only one facet of it, but that, you know, that's the way things I would see moving forward.
And if you'll allow me just to follow this, Rachel, do you have any comment on that? At this time, I know it's in front of all of you. In what form will those recommendations go forth?
I would say the recommendations are probably, we're probably going to not want to get as specific as, I don't think any of us want to be completely specific, but I think we need to be, we have to be a little bit broad on our recommendations. And moving towards the framework of the standards of excellence, I think is a really good way to get us there. That's what I would say.
Okay. So there's a lot more in front of the group on this. I just wanted to see if there was some reaction from commissioner and staff at this point. And Anne, thanks for your patience. And then I have some other questions for the committee to consider based on what Jackie has presented to you so far. And you'll have questions and comments too, of course. Anne.
I think, you know, these standards of excellence and the best practices, having a framework like this, are going to, if we adopt it, even in the broadest sense, that this is the direction we want to go in, that will help identify the, I would say, qualifications of the senior manager that's going to be recruited. And so I think that's a very important part of adopting those goals. However detailed we're able to get within the limited time frame, but you know, we find ourselves in the situation in the absence of having a framework and structure that has been agreed to by not only the program itself, but also the oversight that the program's gotten. So I think we want to avoid the ambiguities of what is expected of the program and of the person who is responsible for it.
Good. More about that. There's really, I have in my mind, as your facilitator, at least two questions based on the thorough presentation and suggestions of Jackie's. And that is, first was about form, which we talked about and we'll talk about. Second was about the structure that Anne, you've spoken favorably about because, well, the reasons you said, I'm going to have to go over them, but clarity being one. Also, standards of excellence that have been developed. Strikes me as others. So, other comments about the structure, and then we get to what I would think to be a pretty aggressive there may be doable calendar that Jackie has identified. Comments about either structure or calendar?
I would say as part of the structure for the recommendations, we should also visit, and I'd be happy to be on the committee that looks at the recommendations. But I think we need to make sure that we incorporate any policies and procedures that may already be in effect for, you know, within the city, within parks, incorporate that into the recommendations as well.
Good. Mary?
I would just like, since we're talking about the committee recommendations, to suggest that we might want to consider that it would be a good idea to think about some recommendations that might be higher priority than others,
mm-hmm.
and that we need to present before March. So looking at possible early recommendations,
mm-hmm.
again, they could be pretty broad, wouldn't have to be very specific. For instance, Dan, your comment about qualifications for whoever's going to be hired for the senior center manager, I think anything we could say about that early on would be helpful for Michael and Rachel and their recruiting efforts.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And in particular, I would like to see us define the process for how the recruitment and interviewing and so forth would happen, because I think this is a very sensitive issue, and if we define the process and make sure it's an open and inclusive kind of procedure, so we will avoid issues that, you know, could compromise the effectiveness of whoever is selected. So it needs to be very open.
Rachel, do you have a comment on that, on how far along that is?
We actually are holding off on anything until after the recommendations move forward. So we're waiting for recommendations from the committee before we move forward on hiring. We're currently working on the job description, and as you know, I hear comments, I'm passing those along to HR, and we've done some research on other senior center managers within the state of Oregon and beyond, and we are incorporating those into the job description. So.
The process is what I'm speaking to,
yeah.
Because the thing is that we can make recommendations
Absolutely.
About the process in advance of posting a job,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's the area of the greatest sensitivity.
And I would agree.
Yeah.
And that follows Marion's comment about higher priority and earliest priority. Okay, Ward. I've heard a couple people speak favorably about the structure that Jackie identified. Do we have any comments on that? We take silence as assent, or what? There's Laura, yeah?
I think we're fortunate this research has been done before us to actually elevate these standards and recognition of excellence and identifying those aspects of a senior center that is most productive in supporting the senior population. And to have that as a guideline is a real asset for us. And I think with that in mind, it is a rigorous time frame, but with the movement and the commitment by those on the committee, it looks like we're making progress. So I'm not concerned about the potential of having that pulled together in that time frame.
Okay. Rob, can I turn directly to you? And I'm going to do that with some others too, just to get you on the record about your initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts, it sounds good, process you're outlining. I may be more of a slow thinker than some folks here, but so it's a lot to digest, and I just need time to think it through before I would have a firm opinion.
No commitment required at this time. And amendments and changes along the way are going to be standards, my guess. Marion, do you want to say anything? I'm just going now out of order.
I'll just say right now that I have had a chance to look at these before Jackie distributed this to some of us for comments, and I think it sets up an excellent framework for recommendation.
Good. Others? Mike? And then Mary.
So regarding the standards, the number three, the section on governance, I think it'll be, at least from my vantage point, be very important if you know, if a recommendation comes out of this group with that. But even if we just look at these standards, that's going to be critical to, I think, how the senior program functions. When we establish, you know, the governance structure, and have a solid advisory group that, you know, that helps the commission, helps staff, and make sure that we're aligned with, you know, with the needs of the community, you know, as well as, you know, the budget and everything else that goes along with a program of this size and stature.
Good. Keep going, and then we'll get more back and forth. I just want to make sure I cover everyone's heard.
I think as a structure, this looks fine. I'm a little bit on Rob's side in terms of looking at it and thinking about it, and I did look at this earlier today. The thing that concerns me is it sounds a little bit like we're starting from ground zero, and I would doubt that completely, and what I would like to know is how these are currently being addressed. So to assume that this is a blank slate is not a good idea, that we need to be informed as to how this is all, I mean, it's like we need a senior advisory committee. There already is. what is, I'm sure there's some sort of an evaluation plan in place. What does that look like? So I would be a little reticent of making suggestions and recommendations based on a blank slate, not knowing what is currently in place.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that it would be good to have that information of to where the city is with all that.
I'll just take two more comments, and I'll bet Jackie might have some responses, given you've been thinking about this for a while. So, Steph, do you have anything else?
Well, I think it's important to know it's one of the things, because I've been a park commissioner before, and it's always been a little bit confusing, is what is park responsibilities in terms of not only recreation, but also the social service aspect. Social services are really a part of the county. They're not really a part of the city. And so now Parks has that as something that's on their plate as well. Do they have a budget for that? Has the city looked at that? We have social service grants. Because we don't always have enough money for social services because the city's not supposed to provide it. So I think that you need to look at governance and budget when you look at priorities, and the fact that it makes it more complex because of where the senior center is in the city structure, that if it's going to be with parks, then they have to have the funding for that.
Good to note and to get in the minutes all of this. Catherine, anything you would add or ask about?
I was actually once on a team center advisory board international. Happened to end up with the Grove at the end of all that process, which I was no longer involved at that point. And so I'm wondering, as I said earlier, you know, what do we know about the mandate for the senior center within the city structure? Your comments were really important to hear and to understand, and I can't say that I understand them, not, you know, because there's more to know than we know now. And I think that, for me, looking at this issue that we're dealing with, that's the issue. That is the core of the issue, is this is the only entity, the senior center, that, to my knowledge, I don't know whether planning or housing would get there, maybe housing would, the fair housing issues and those things, where we get, where the city's got their finger in a social service. And I think it's you know, we're describing maybe the need for the city to look at the whole area of social service. I said, mentioned about the teens, well, we're going to have a senior center, so we have a teen center, so we have a, you know, and we're, you know, the Parks and Rec, you know, David designated place that those kinds of things happen. It's just, it's a lot of questions looking over these standards. I'm going, well, how big a staff would it take to supervise, administer, be sure that all of those entities or all of these components were being done to the degree that these standards, the self-assessment across all of that, that required. I mean, it's massive. It's massive. And to go into this kind of depth, starting from where we are, with the senior center, as I understand
it. Catherine, thanks. There's a lot of information coming here that's going to be very useful. That's coming up. Anne, and then Jackie, and then Mike.
We only have 20,000 people in Ashland, so of course we're not going to have as robust a program as you would find in, say, New York City. On the other hand, the structure and the framework is still, I think, applicable. The other thing is to be able to differentiate between the city or Parks and Rec providing social services, which would not be possible because they don't have the funding to provide it. But where I think the need is to provide referral. So I think that's still a very important aspect of what the senior program will continue to do or needs to continue to do. It's definitely, I would say, the priority that I've heard voiced as over and over again.
Referral.
So social services, but I think the referral to them is, if you refer to them to the point where the funding exists, which is at the Older Americans Act in many cases, or other county programs, then we'll make sure that people get the services they need, but it isn't the job of the city to provide that service.
Good. Jackie, you have some things on mic, and then I have another question or two for people.
I just want to say that I think carrying out these standards of excellence, and I'm looking at Rachel, because I know this is very doable. We can do this. It involves, you know, getting a lot of plastic crates, and then you start putting in, what do you have? What does the policy manual look like now? What's the confidentiality agreement now? What do we have for rental agreements with the center? And it's a blank spot if you don't have it. But if you do have it, and what are the agreements with the city? How are they prioritizing the senior program? But we could do that. I'd be happy to help with that, and I've done it many times because I was not only at a high school that was accredited, and we had to put together all the crates. But I also was part of an accreditation team who went around and reviewed all the documents at high schools and middle schools. We can do this. And that's where the evidence is. You have to get the evidence together, you got to see what you got, and then you can look at it and you know what needs to be improved or built upon or left as it is. It could be perfectly fine that in that particular area. The other thing I want to say in terms of governance, responding to Mike's comment that Parks and Rec kind of builds on city's strategic planning process as well, I think it's very important to look at what we're involved in here with the community and with the input we've gotten from them on the high community value of the senior program. I think that is very evident to all of us. And whether we're in the middle of a biennium or not, I think there are times when we suddenly are going to have to work together, city and parks, and get county involved. And we have got to come up with a plan that's going to have a better, improved program. And we can do that. And it's going to involve volunteers, and it's going to involve fundraising, foundation, board. There's all kinds of ideas there that we need to reach out and make it happen. And we can do that. This is Ashland. Come on. We can do it.
Okay. Mike from Ashland.
No, I have two things to say because I want to respond real quick to that. So I wasn't implying that in the middle of a biennium, we can't change our priorities. But I wanted to, the point I wanted to make is that we don't flow through any process without a set of goals and priorities, and it's tricky to leapfrog the goals and priorities. This group, this is our number one priority. The group that I'm going to meet at 5 o'clock, their priorities are totally different. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to make sure that we were clear on, you know, how we as a commission look at all the requests and all the desires that, you know, come to us, and in no way say that, you know, well, I'm sorry, we're in the middle and we can't work it. But, you know, what it'll help shape the future, you know, decisions that we make by what comes out of this committee. The other thing I wanted to just add on to what Catherine said is it's a big project, and we will, it's already been said once, but we will need to prioritize our recommendations. I mean, we might come up with 20 or 30, but we're going to need to, you know, have a doable amount that, you know, that we can move forward with immediately, and then hopefully others that we can tackle as we go along. That would be my
thank you. So we have a little bit of time left, and what I'd like to ask of you, and I think will be useful for your committee, and think otherwise, just push back, please, is that, Jackie, if you would run down your idea one more time about how you would divide up the standards, and how the subcommittee would work, and by what dates. So just, you know, if you could do that kind of briefly. And then I think it might be useful, I'm asking you, would it not be useful for this committee to agree, yes, at least tentatively, let's go forward in that direction with that plan, or maybe you'll need more time to decide if you want to go in that direction or you want to modify. Of course, you can modify anything you agree to on the way as it plays out, but let's make sure everyone heard it correctly and fully, and then, you know, see what they want to do, see what you want to do. Okay?
Sure.
That sound good? Okay.
So basically, this was a lot of information. I realized that tonight. And I know you all have the Building Excellence document that was all sent to you where this information is in that document. So you can look more at, you know, all the different areas. But basically, it's taking the standards of excellence, looking at your own experience and expertise, looking and examining at the input you're getting, the survey results, what we're getting from the community needs assessment. So we're in the middle of bringing in all of this information. But we can already start formulating in some areas draft recommendations given your particular expertise and knowledge. So what I'm recommending is that we designate the leads of the subcommittees that we already have, so community partnership, public input, the community needs assessment, and that subcommittee starts putting together draft recommendations with the information that they're getting, and that we would work through December and January on doing this, because that's when the listening sessions are. The open house, the community needs assessment, with the goal that we would have draft recommendations to look at. We would have a list of all these draft recommendations compiled for the February meeting. I think it's February 12th. And then we would spend the time going through and prioritizing. I think that would be a good time to do maybe a prioritizing exercise to figure out, you know, you'll have good ideas, I know, John, on that idea. And then the goal would be that in March we would be able to have the final recommendations from ASPAC. And my concern is that you heard tonight from Rachel is they are not going to advertise or go out to hire someone until we finish this recommendation process. That's what I heard. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is that a new decision, by the way? Is this a recent one?
That's within the last month or so.
Go ahead.
So, given that, I think, and I think, Laura, you think we can do it, right?
I think we could do this, but granted, as John spoke, we should be flexible, and we will be flexible. If something were to come up that caused a little deterrence in the timeline, I'm feeling comfortable.
Yes, I'm just saying there is some urgency, I think, in getting our work done, but do it well. And if there are delays, then I understand there are delays, and we'll work with that. But I really think, given the expertise and knowledge on this committee, we can do it.
So, Jackie, I have one question.
Yes.
So, Art, did you... I got confused. I thought I heard two different things, and I'm sure you only meant one. One was that people, you know, their own expertise, especially leads on the standing subcommittees at this time, start thinking about recommendations now.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you, I thought you said, after the assessment, people will start really putting in and identifying recommendations.
I think that given the input that we have so far, for some people here, it's very clear to them what certain draft recommendations would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's already there. But I think that in other areas, particularly in program implementation, looking at the best practices we offer and how to enhance those or look in other areas, we need to hear more from the community.
Yeah.
So we can't make some recommendations yet.
Oh, of course not. I know that. So I was, you know, I'm trying to begin with the end in mind, as that little phrase goes, and I'm imagining these recommendations and the process getting there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is, to me, there's at least at this time there's a sort of a lack. At this time, this can be changed and start changing it right after this meeting. A lack of clarity about a couple of things. Who is going to put recommendations in what bucket? Is it going to be the 9 buckets? The 9 standards?
Yes.
Okay. And then if I have expertise in 2 or 3 areas, I can make a recommendation in 2 or 3 buckets?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then, good. You can have comments about all this. Language. Eventually, we're going to want some sort of more or less uniform uniformity of language with recommendations.
I have a suggestion on that.
Okay, go for it.
And that is basically to use action verbs. So we use terms like create a marketing plan, write a rental agreement, revise the current policy manual, but it begins with an action verb on what needs to happen.
Okay. And then, of course, there'll still be differences in language, but the final document can be edited to accommodate those differences, I think. Laura?
If I may, and Jackie can correct me as I'm trying to throw out some framework around the framework. If you're speaking that the leads will be an additional subcommittee to put forward some recommendations, no matter what the bucket is, since the leads are working with other committee members, that dialogue could be happening within those current subcommittee.
Absolutely.
And then since we will ultimately have these recommendations put forward for group discussion, evaluation, prioritization, that would take us to the next step for those generalized recommendations.
Yep. Absolutely. You've got it crystal clear.
So that will happen between now and the next all-committee meeting. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is my thought. No.
Okay.
The answer is no.
No.
Okay.
Because there's still work to be done with the current subcommittee meetings. So we just have an opportunity now with this particular layout of timeline to start using those meetings with a little bit more gusto in looking at the standards and how that fits with the committee we have, as well as any other generalized insights people have for the other standards.
Right, so we're looking at February is the goal for the draft recommendations to come together. We've got to get through December and January and then start pulling things into the buckets and doing all of that in the subcommittee and have it hopefully ready for the February 12th and then prioritize and finalize and then have that ready in March in hopes that we can get out and hire.
Yeah. Okay, Catherine.
But whatever our recommendations are has to be incorporated or approved, whatever, by Parks and Rec Commission.
Do they?
Because we're proposing...
No.
We're proposing, we're recommending to the commission these standards or these, this outline, right?
No. I don't agree with that. I would say that we are going to make recommendations moving forward. And it could be that a member of this ad hoc committee might disagree with a recommendation, and they can do that. We talked about that in the beginning of forming this group. But we're going to make recommendations for the Parks Commission moving forward. Now, whether they act on those recommendations is, of course, up to them and the staff and the standing advisory council.
So the end of my question was going to be, how can, wanting to move ahead on the hiring process, how can that happen before the commission has agreed that the direction this committee is suggesting has been approved? Because then what's the manager, this new person, what are they being told, are they, is there direction?
It's a conundrum, isn't it?
I'm always interested in clarity and looking ahead at questions like that. I do think that it will be useful as these recommendations are being developed that you'll have three staff people here and two commission people here, and that'll be helpful. They don't want to, guide the recommendations, I don't believe. But they might be able to say, to help answer that question, Catherine. It's a good question. Laura?
Just one more comment. I really appreciated Mary's insight on the issue that some of what, in order to form a thoughtful recommendation that we would prioritize, there's some data that may be needed in the course of review, and perhaps the subcommittee that is made up of the leads could feel free to be working with staff to fill in the gaps of knowledge that may be important before anything's written.
That's an excellent idea.
That is an excellent idea. And with sensitivity to staff, I wonder if it would be useful if you're able to not wait for people in the subcommittee to ask, but to, in as efficient and still thorough way as possible,
flesh it out.
And make it available to people as you begin, as they begin.
Plastic crates work really well.
And?
I think, what we're getting towards is maybe some consensus around the idea of using this framework to formulate our recommendations. So, this, using it as a structure. But I think that we will get very far ahead on this if we don't have every single thing clicked off, every single item on here as something that we have information about. For at least my own personal goal here is to get to the point where we can recruit a program manager. So, even if you have 80% of these things defined as needs, it will get you to the point where you can actually recruit and select somebody.
I think that's a good comment. Steph, and then we're getting about a minute away, so if there's something burning, let's do it quick. Steph.
I would just say that some of the things, for example, with fiscal and asset responsibility, that some of these things are really under the control of the finance department, and there's city ways that this is done that this committee really couldn't impact.
Absolutely.
Good. Anything else for the good? good of the order? Anything else on good of the order?
Did we need to talk about the next date?
Okay, you start.
Okay, well, I think we mentioned the two. Rachel, so is it January 8th?
Yeah, the January regular meeting of this commission will be on January 8th from 3:15 to 5:15 here at Council Chambers. And then the February meeting will be February 12th from 3:15 to 5:15 here at Council Chambers.
Also, for those of you who are interacting with seniors who have great interest in this process, just comment. I was sorry that the folks who were here earlier, so many of them, that there's some left, but there's so many folks left.
Yeah.
I assume, I hope, they'll watch on television. If they don't, and we do have a chance, I encourage you to encourage them to watch this on television. In my view, it's a very productive meeting. So if there's nothing else, thanks to all of you, and I'll see you in a month, if not before.
Great. Thank you, John.
Happy Elements. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Rachel, you said January 8th.